Hello, brothers and sisters. Well, Christmas is behind us, and I hope you guys survived the chaos that comes along with the season. And the new year is fastly approaching us. Hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas and that you kept Jesus in the midst of your celebrations and you lift him up high where he ought to be at, and especially in our lives and at our dinner tables and in our families, right? Our families. Jesus needs to be the center of it, because he's the glue that holds everything together. And that's just a beautiful thing. My wife and I, we went to town today and we did some, had to pick up some things. And you know, we went by a few little places and we ended up eating at Burger King with, and it wasn't planned, you know, with some of her family. And that's just a, you know, God's hand is in motion. You know, I know a lot of people really consider me odd, and I just kind of let the Holy Spirit guide me. Especially when I'm off and I'm driving around in town, and even when I'm at work too. But most time work is work, right? You hit that clock and you're running. But there's opportunities at work also to talk about Jesus, and I also look for those opportunities when they come about. Just make sure the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing your life, and doing that, you just basically you re-study your Bible, you pray. You pray that God opens doors for you to witness. He does open them. A lot of times we're so blinded by the business of this life and all the chaos that we miss all these opportunities that God provides for us to shed a light on people's lives. And I'm not talking about family. I'm talking about the family of God and to the lost out there. I was running through things in what to preach on, and I had a sermon written, but the Holy Spirit is leading me in a different direction. So the sermon I initially planned, I probably won't hit on it. I may hit on points of it, but I'm going to talk about salvation again, and what it is. And how, you know, we need to understand what salvation is and really need to wrap our minds around it. I'm afraid in the world today that the message of salvation is severely muddied. It is smeared because people really don't understand it and they can't really explain it. And to the lost world, they don't really grasp it. But somebody that is saying they're a Christian or professing they're a Christian, one thing that we're supposed to study ourselves, sure, that's scripture. We're supposed to study ourselves, a workman. Anytime we are questioned about something, we should be prepared to give an answer, and that's one thing that we should be able to answer straight up is salvation. What is it? The full spectrum of it, just not the say this prayer, hallelujah, go about your way, I forget about you the next day, and then, you know. And then there's many areas in the Bible that you can preach on this on salvation, because it's so integrally ingrained into the Bible. And the passage I'm going to pull out today that the Holy Spirit led me to pull out is Titus 2, 11 through 13. Actually, it'll be Titus 2:11 through, we'll just go to 15, right? If you guys would bow with me, I'd like to give a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to before you, Lord, just thanking you for everything you have done in our lives, the light that you have guided us in the path you have us to walk, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of Jesus, the ultimate gift that you gave on Christmas. It is because of this gift And it led to his crucifixion, and his crucifixion to his resurrection, Lord. Through that design, redemption is given to us. Heavenly Father, I pray that anybody that's going through something right now, that's listening to this, that they're having a struggle, they may have lost a job, or struggling with money, Lord, or they may have lost the things that we take for granted, such as walking, seeing, hearing, remembering things. I pray if people are going through depression and thoughts of suicide, Lord, we lift them up to you. Anxiety. They may be worrying about a loved one, maybe a child that's sick. There are so many needs out there, Lord. And we lift them up to you. We know that your hand is in motion, regardless how hard this life gets, your hand is in motion. I want to thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be able to of sound mind with the God of the Holy Spirit living inside me to once again proclaim the gospel of Jesus. I pray that you guide and direct me in your path. That whoever is out there listening to it, it touches their heart. It penetrates their heart. The words I speak, let them be your words, not mine. And when your word goes out, it doesn't go void, Lord. I pray, Lord, let this podcast reach whoever you need it to reach to. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Our reading today is Titus 2, 11 through 15. That's the what I felt led to read to you guys. Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope, for the glorious appearance of God, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all the iniquity and purify unto himself particular people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We have Titus here, right? And he has a message for his audience. And he begins this message with saying, for the grace of God that brings salvation have appeared to all men. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And we just, you know, we're just getting out of the Christmas season. But I want to tell you, the Christmas season is about Jesus. And Jesus is just not one day out of the year. We should carry that in our heart every day that we wake up. Because Jesus, when Jesus was born, it was a fulfilling of a prophecy that God made in Genesis 3 when he speaks of the man child that will come and he will bruise the heel named Satan. Basically, he was telling Adam and Eve, okay, you guys messed up. And if you look at Adam and Eve and what they were living in before they took the fruit that they were not supposed to, the tree a knowledge of good and evil, they took that fruit and they ate it, and then they realized the shame and the nakedness, just not the physical, but just the spiritual too. And they had to cover themselves. And because of that, this paradise they were living in. And I mean, we could try to think of all kind of paradises out there, and our minds can't really grasp how beautiful and how perfect that was. They didn't want for nothing. The weather was just right. They had their food. They had everything they needed. The animals were in perfect harmony. None attacked each other. They all ate plants, fruits. They didn't eat meat. Everything was sustained. They didn't want for nothing. All their needs were met, and that is incredible, right? But Satan seen it too. And Satan entered the serpent. And when he entered the serpent, he was able to deceive Eve first. And Adam was right there to take the fruit because he wanted to corrupt this beautiful creation, this perfect harmony. And Eve bought into the lies. Satan tested God's word as he does today with every Christian. And this world was corrupted, and sin entered this earth, and we have all this pain and this suffering and this death, and we look at it, you know, we look at the world, and we look at all these people that are hungry, and people are homeless, and it's increasing, and we're like, why, God, why? God didn't have nothing to do with that. The part he did in the beginning created a beautiful creation. When God said it was good, it was beyond our understanding what good means. It was awesome. It was fantastic. It was beyond anything Hollywood can imagine. But we corrupted it. And this sin entered. And this death, this physical death entered. And all these things, this cancer. The cancer that, you know, you're watching, you know, shows on TV, and they show, you know, donate to the hospital, and you see these kids, they're suffering from cancer. God didn't do that. God had nothing to do with that. That is us. We did that. We need to take ownership. The problem is, a lot of times, we don't want to take ownership. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to start correcting what we did wrong in that birth. And that's what Titus tells us in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. Meaning, Jesus came as a child. He grew, and then he became a man. He started his ministry roughly 30, give or take. You know, the theologians get really caught up on numbers. But his ministry began. And throughout that ministry, people were touched. They were changed. All the way up to the crucifixion. And the crucifixion was horrible. The blood that was spilt was for you and me. And for the world. He bled for you and me. Because the Bible tells us, without the blood, there is no remission. Meaning, without that blood, we would be nothing. And it's through the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, and when they took him down when he was dead, and they placed him in that tomb, and he rose that third day. And he came and he was with the disciples for 40 days. And he gave them more teachings. And he left. But he left, if you look at the four gospels, he left the Holy Spirit there. That's Jesus living inside us. And when we say I do to Jesus, when we accept the birth, his life, the crucifixion, his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Jesus tells us when he was talking to Nicodemus about being born again. You are a born again Christian. You are a new creature. The part of all that transformation and part of salvation that is missed out, you become new. Paul speaks of it. You're new. Your old nature and your new nature. Your old creation, your new creation. You are a new creature in Christ. Meaning everything that you once was. All this peel of this world is no more. And when that Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're changed. Everything old is gone. Everything new is new. You have a fire burning in your heart to be, to go to church, to be involved in church, to do Bible studies and looking for opportunities, right? To be able to talk about Jesus, and they're all around us, and to give that hope of your salvation. Because the last part of that is the discipleship. We miss that part. Once you're changed, the change means you're a new creature. Part of that new creature is meaning you are now to go out and become a disciple of Jesus. You find you a good church, you find you a good pastor. They are lacking today, but there's some out there, and that will disciple you on how to go out there and through the Word of God, of course, because that's why God put pastors in churches to shepherd and to disciple. You see, this world has corrupted the message of salvation, and we have allowed it enter our churches and to water it down. Once you go through these steps, sin is no longer, well, I don't say sin is, you're not okay with sin, just say this. There's movements out there that would say, okay, you know, God died for my sins, so I can keep on sinning. That's okay. I keep on sinning. God understands. No, when you are changed, sin bothers you. I guess that's the best word. It bothers you. It grieves your spirit to a point where you can't even sleep. I want to tell you, this is the most important part to me, to understand if you are really, and we got to be serious about this, if you really are a child of God, because this is an important topic, because your life really depends on it. Heaven or hell. If you're a child of God, you go to heaven. If you're not, you go to hell. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want anybody that's listening to this. I don't want nobody to perish and go to hell. I don't care if you have to hate me. Hate me away. If it saves your soul from hell, you can hate me to the very end. Because when we get to heaven, it ain't going to matter. I don't know who's listening to this, but whoever listens, I pray over this. And whoever listens to it, it just, you know, it touches your heart. But this is the thing. When you're changed new, sin is going to bother you. When you mess up, you do something contrary to Scripture, because we all sin, come short of the glory of God. But we also see, it also says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Meaning, when we mess up, it grieves our spirit, and we immediately, not 20 days later, not 100 days later, not that moment. We may not in the moment we'll be doing that, but afterwards, our spirit is grieved, and we say, "Jesus, forgive me. I'm weak, you're strong. I lay myself back at your feet and help me. Help me to overcome this again. If it happens, this temptation. Forgive me, Jesus. I am truly sorry." You see, when you look at, you go back to the Old Testament. Look at David. And look at Saul. And you can see that whole, and I encourage you to read that story. You see, David was just a little shepherd boy. Saul was the first king that was selected. He was a king that the people wanted. But when Saul messed up, he was not truly repentant of what he did. And Saul, of course, wanted to kill David, because David was the true king that was, you know, chose by God. Saul was chose by people. David was chose by God. And you see during that story, of course, you know, it's an amazing story. True events, true story, awesome story. I am read it, preach on it, teach on it. But, you know, David got, you know, he did really good when he was younger, and then he started doing other things. And one of the sins he did, he committed murder. He got a girl pregnant. And then he killed her husband. And when he was called out on it, he dropped to his knees. His heart was torn within him. I don't know when I mess up, guys, and I do. None of us are perfect. We may have preachers out there that are spitting that heresy out. None of us are perfect in this life. Only way we strive to be perfect is through Jesus Christ, but we won't ever reach that. But because the Holy Spirit lives inside us, it's always pushing us to strive for that. That's another way you know that you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit is pushing you. And the other part is, well, with David, he fell on his knees. That first part. He fell on his knees. And he was torn. And that's how we should be about our sins. It should tear us up. And if you look at verse 12 in Titus, he tells us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live sober, righteous, and godly in the present of this world. He's saying, because you're new, you're changed, you should deny all this stuff that goes against Scripture. And if you're a child of God, you ain't going to have to sit there and wonder. Because when you partake of it, when you're doing it, and the Holy Spirit is grieved, don't do it. Get away from it. If you're watching a show and they start cussing and that grieves your spirit, turn it off. The problem is when the Holy Spirit is grieving it and you're still watching it, you just grieve the Holy Spirit, and then afterwards you just feel dirty. Don't do it again. You repent. Repent of it. And don't do it. But if you do it again, you're going to feel the same thing until the point where you realize, hey, every time I do this, I'm torn. I am nothing. My heart is ripped out of my chest. And that's what he's speaking here of the newness. A lot of people get caught up. They really get caught up on, oh, this is ungodly. I don't know if that's ungodly. I don't know if this. I don't tell you, if you're a child of God and the Holy Spirit is living inside you, when you do something, the Holy Spirit will tell you a feeling. I know I get it. There's things I cannot do no more because they grieve my spirit so much. I used to enjoy watching horror movies. Tense horror movies. Well, if I try to watch a certain one, I know which ones now that the Holy Spirit does not want me to watch. But if I'll go put one in today and watch it, I feel dirty. I feel disgusting. And I gotta turn it off. I'm so convicted. And that's how you know it's ungodly. And it's a worldly lust. The Holy Spirit guides and directs us. Because when you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit enters you. And when the Holy Spirit is there, He guides, He directs, He teaches you. That's all Scriptures, guys. It's not my opinion. If you look at verse 13, Titus tells us, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all the iniquity and purifying upon Himself a particular people, zealous of good works. Verse 15, these things speak and exalt the rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. What he's saying here, when you're a child of God, when you have recognized and you know the Holy Spirit's inside you and you know it because you get convicted. This world can get overwhelming. But he's saying, looking for that blessed hope. What he's speaking of is one day, this life will be over. It could be through Jesus coming back, literally splitting the eastern sky and setting His foot on earth. Or it could be our physical death. But I want to tell you, if it's your physical death, there's two deaths to speak of. There's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. All will experience a physical death. Then we'll be looking at Jesus. And there will be something as a spiritual birth and a spiritual dead. If you're a child of God, you will be spiritually alive. You will not suffer the second death, the spiritual death. And you will go to heaven. And when you're in heaven, everything is going to be awesome. It's going to be beyond our imagination. Jesus tells us, your eyes have not seen, your ears haven't heard why I've went to prepare you. He said he went to prepare us a mansion. And I believe when you look at the scriptures, you look at how he's talking about, he's really talking about a physical place. And not getting too deep on heaven. There one day there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth. And we will live on that. After everything is said and done and he comes back. And I believe he'll be back very soon. This world is falling apart. If you look around you, you look at everything that's falling down. The recent decline of society is homosexuality. But before that, it was other things such as living together. You would never hear couples living together, or they call it cohabitation to clean it up, without being married. That became so acceptable. It's not acceptable, it is a sin. Jesus clarified that. This loose and immoral world. It becomes acceptable, such as homosexuality is trying to become more acceptable. They put it on TV, and these things just they combine, and even witchcraft and satanic cults in TVs and cartoons happened when I was a kid. But they creeped that in. Gradually, pieces by pieces, as they're doing with homosexuality. I want to tell you guys, these things, just not in homosexuality, just the new sexual immorality that is being pushed hard on our kids, on this world. We need to go against this movement and others' movements, in the sense of marriage is sacred, you shouldn't live together unless you're married, because this is what God, this is what's holy, this is what God has laid down. But when you look at all this, this landscape, and why I'm saying this, now I want to say I'm not hating on nobody. I love people. I believe the homosexual thing, a lot of them are just confused. The devil has them blind. They don't understand what they're doing, some of them. But when you look at the landscape, we're starting to get closer and closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. He tells us, as the days of Noah, which was Noah, and Sodom and Gomorrah. I encourage you to look up some of the information on the things that were going during the times of Noah and the Sodom and Gomorrah, and it will blow your mind. We actually have surpassed those days. And Jesus tells us, as the days of Noah, I'll come. As the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm coming. So we can't have much longer. And I say all this today to tell you, don't put off. Don't put it off. Today could be your last day. Could be your last breath. You could be listening to this and you close your eyes. And that's it. And when you open them up, all that's going to matter. If you said, I do, truly say, I do. And I just went through the plan of salvation. Or you say, I don't. The thing is, when you become a disciple for Jesus, I ain't going to lie, there's going to be. Well, Jesus tells us, count the cost. So when you say, I do to Jesus, realize there's a cost that comes with that. But regardless of the cost, regardless of the persecution, regardless how this world will hate you, it will, because Jesus tells us, be of good cheer, I conquer the world. It hated me first, right? It's going to hate you. But he tells us he's going to prepare us a place. So when we close our eyes and this is the last day, and you're looking up at Jesus in the afterlife, and you're a child of God, you will live forever, forever and ever. If you're not, he will send you to hell. Not because he wants to, it's because he's a holy and righteous God, and he gave you all the opportunity to say, okay, I know, okay, I get this. Okay, I'm going to, I don't care the cost. I want you, Jesus. Come in my life. Be my Savior. You know, you don't have to say this prayer or anything. You know, a lot of people get caught up on the sinner prayers. No, God sees the heart. If you just lay your heart open to him, only God sees the heart and say, man, here I am, Jesus. I'm doing it all wrong. Maybe you're a professing Christian for years. You truly haven't really put your... There's a difference between professing and possessing. Professing, no heart. Possessing, heart. You put your heart into it. And Jesus sees that. And you open your heart and say, here, Jesus, I am. I've been doing it all wrong. I'm going to truly give my life over to you. Do what you need to do with me. Send me wherever you need to send me. I don't care what the cost is. It could be as simply as you at Walmart walking around and somebody comes up and starts talking to you. Or it could be as complex or as him sending you to Africa to start a church in a missionary field. And trust me, if he calls you to do that, he equips you and he will provide the means necessary for you to accomplish that. Many people go out of God's hands and they try to do it their own. If the Holy Spirit is living inside you, you will not second guess what he tells you to do, because he will provide everything that you need to do that. Mission. He'll provide everything you need. So I want to tell you today in closing that, well, basically I kind of concluded it there. Don't put off putting Jesus in your life. If you never have, this is just, I have several messages on salvation. This is just one of them, and salvation is the same. You know, the message, you know, is guided by the Holy Spirit, so it's not identical. But basically laying your heart out to him is the key. You say, here I am, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. I'm not worthy, but you did it anyway. And thank you. I want to bring you into my, here I am. Come into my life. Be part of me. You really truly mean that. And your heart is open. It's hard to explain. But when you open your heart, he will come in. You don't have to say the perfect words. You may not even be able to speak. He sees your heart. He sees your desire. He sees everything about you. He sees all the ugliness. He sees all the good. He will come into your life and he will change you. If you guys would bow with me, I'd just like to end this with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, just thanking you for another day. Thank you for giving me the words to speak in this message, which is what you're wanting to whoever that needs to hear it. I don't know. You changed the course of the message. You were in control. I'm a humble servant. I give it over to you. And I pray, Lord, that whoever's out there that hears this, it reaches their heart. And it affects their mind and their hands and their feet to be your servant. Truly to be your servant. Say, hey, I count the cost. You died for me. And I love you. You rose. Thank you. Your blood was shed for me. I should have been on that cross. You rose. And you left the Holy Spirit for me. That now that it lives inside me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside me now. Guide and direct me with your Spirit. Put me in the places that you need me to be. Let me be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let me be anybody that needs to hear about Jesus. Put them in my path. I know you will give me the words to say. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. Amen. Once again, brothers and sisters, I want to just tell you, I hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas. It's such a beautiful time of the year, or it can be. A lot of commercialism going on. But keep that Jesus. Keep Jesus in your heart year round. Because after the Christmas, it's easy to say, hey, you know, that was good, that was wonderful. You might have went to church once or twice during this period of time. But it's important to keep Jesus in your heart throughout the year, every moment, every minute, every hour. There's an old hymn out there, Lord, I need you every hour, you know. I need him every second most of the days. I just want to tell you guys I love y'all. I hope y'all have a wonderful Sunday service. And I hope your pastor, the Holy Spirit, just leads them to speak. And that it just, when he speaks, that the message just gets lodged in there. Through the Holy Spirit course. You guys have a wonderful day. Love y'all.